Wonderful, guys. Thank you. I'm not going to be very long, so if you want to carry on standing, you can. But I thought it'd be good to hear from some people what they think about Good Friday. But where's Knox? Knox, we also asked Knox. Where's Knox? Come, Knox, quickly. We need your voice here. Wayne said, don't hear from me, hear from Knox. She will give you the truth. What does Good Friday mean to you? How are you, man?
I'm very well.
Wonderful.
This one here?
Either one, eh?
Morning, everyone. Wow. You know, when I was just thinking about this thought, I mean, about this question, what does Good Friday mean to me? I thought of all sorts of things, but one thing I remembered was myself as a child being afraid of the dark, being afraid of the shadows in the dark, and torment of something that I didn't know, that I didn't understand. But what Jesus did for me, part of what he did for me when he died on the cross, is that he took away the fear of torment. He took away fear from me. So fear has been dealt with. Torment has been dealt with. I don't have to fear anything any longer. I can stand on God's word knowing that the work has been done for me on the cross, for me to live in faith, for me to live without fear of whatever it is that comes in my life. Wonderful. So that's just one of the things.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thanks, Knox. Thanks. Wonderful. That. Wonderful. Great. So I just want to take us to, I want to give us three things that Good Friday has done for us. As believers, I'll ask this question. This is what it said. What does the death of Christ mean for us who believe? On Sunday, I'll ask the question, what does the resurrection of Jesus mean to us who believe? But what does the death of Christ mean to us who believe? And it means many things, but I want to just give you three amazing things that it means out of Colossians chapter 2. So if you do have your Bibles here, you can turn to Colossians chapter 2. I'll start reading at verse 9, and then I want to get from, really talk about verse 13 to 15, but verse 9 to the rest just gives a bit of context and fullness to it. So Colossians chapter 2 verse 9 says this, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ you've been brought to fullness." Listen to this, all of this, in Christ. "He is the head over every power and authority." Jesus is the head over everything. "In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands." In him, again, in Christ. "Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith, the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." Good Friday, friends, has brought an unbelievable victory for us who believe. The first one is this. It says in verse 13, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ." There's three things. One, he overcame our death, he overcame our debt, and he overcame the demonic force that was against us, that stood against us. Those are the three things. The first one is this, he overcame our death. And when it says death there, it doesn't just mean physically death, because we're not physically dead, but yet we're inwardly dead. What that means is that we separated from God, we separated from our life source, we separated from the one who gives us life. And so what Jesus does on the cross by dying, he takes away the separation between us and him. Friends, if we can just get that into our hearts, we are no longer separated from God because of the work of the cross. We are no longer separated from the life of God. We're able to walk with God. We're able to hear God. We're able to be with God. We're able to be in his presence. I love what he says there. He's made us alive with Christ. Alive with Christ. Alive with him means to quicken us together with him. It's like he's done this incredible reconciliatory work of bringing us back together in him. Earlier on in Colossians, it talks about how the work that he does in Christ. In verse 19, he says, "For God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether things in heaven or things in earth." He says, once you were alienated from God and were hostile to his ways, but you no longer are. The first thing that Good Friday means to us, friends, is that God is no longer against us. He's for us, but not just for us, he's with us. The first thing that God does, he steps back close to us. He steps into our lives. He hasn't even dealt with our sin yet. He hasn't even got to the sin part. And he says, I want to be with you. When he said to Adam, where are you, Adam? He never has to ask that again. He says, because he's right there with us. Good Friday means God wants to be with us. Good Friday means God wants to be with you. Good Friday means that there's nothing that you have done, nothing that you can do, nothing that you ever will do that will separate you from the life of God, from the presence of God, from the person of God, from what God wants for you. The second thing is our debt. He goes on to say that he forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness. It's quite interesting because in the NIV, it's a 1984 version, which I grew up reading. It actually says this. It says, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that stood against us, that opposed us. So when I first got saved, I thought that meant he cancelled the law. Which is kind of an obvious reading. You think, well, he cancelled the law, which has stood against us. But actually, it's not what it means. He did cancel the law. He fulfilled the law. He didn't cancel it. He fulfilled the law. But actually what that means is this. The ESV says this, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This one says, this version of the NIV says, its charge canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness. Friends, what Jesus did on the cross on Good Friday, he canceled our record of debt. And whether that debt is a debt that is in the law courts, your charge sheet is another way of speaking about that. He took the charge sheet that was against us, that was at the judge's, on the judge's desk, and he took that thing and he nailed it to the cross. And he said, no longer is there any charges against you. If it was a law court scene, that's what it would mean. If it was a financial scene, it would mean this. Every amount of debt that you've incurred, that you put yourself in, you think of everything that you have done that you regret. Everything that you have done that you will come to regret. Everything that you have done that you will do that you will come to regret. He's cancelled it today on the cross. Let that sink in, friends. Not only does he step closer to us and want to be with us so that we're no longer separated from us, but he cancels everything that should separate us from him, which is our sin and our filth and our uncircumcised hearts and flesh. What an incredible, incredible moment it is to remember. Everything that condemned us, everything that took that should be against us, he took it and he nailed it to the cross. He had a charge sheet above his head that the Romans put above there. The King of the Jews. That was his charge. He claimed to be the King of the Jews. That's why they crucified him. Alongside that is our charge sheet, taken and dealt with by his blood. Friends, I hope you leave this place today free. Because Good Friday means Jesus wants to be with you. And Jesus has dealt with everything that can come between you and him. Everything that you can do that can come between you and him, he's dealt with on the cross. There's no excuse to not be with him. There's no excuse why you can't be with him. The third thing is he says this, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them and triumphing over them by the cross. Friends, can you believe this? Everything that would stop us from having a relationship and doing the will of God gets dealt with on Good Friday. The separation, the death that comes by being separated by God, Adam and Eve died that day. But they didn't physically die, they died spiritually. They died because they got separated from their God. Everything that we need gets dealt with at the cross on Good Friday. We're no longer separated from God. We no longer have an excuse because of what should separate us from God, because of our sin, because it's been nailed. Everything, friends. No guilt, no shame, no condemnation. It's nailed to the cross because with the blood of Jesus running over it. Dealt with. And then thirdly, the third thing that could be against us are the principalities and powers that caused this whole mess in the first place. And he said he disarmed them. He disrobed them. He nullified them. He stripped off. The word literally means stripped off their clothes or arms. Nothing stands against you, friends, from doing the will of God. Nothing can stand against you from doing the will of God. The only way that you allow demonic presence to stand against us, friends, is if we submit to it. Jesus has dealt with it on the cross. And he says, by and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Can you believe it, friends? Three significant things dealt with today. How many believers battle with feeling distant from God? How many believers battle with guilt and shame? How many believers battle with torment? If we understand the cross, we can stand firm and grounded in what Jesus has done for us and allow him to form us deep in our inner being and root us and ground us in the love of God, in the love of Christ, so that we can be victorious. And we haven't even got to the resurrection yet. This is just Good Friday. Friends, today is a significant day. And I want to remind you, God wants to be with you. I want to remind you, there's no reason you don't need to be with God. There's no reason why you can't be with God. Please don't say, I've done this and I've done that and you can't believe what I've done. If you believe in Jesus, it's nailed to the cross. And every external principality, power, demonic evil that would stand against you, Jesus has triumphed over. Made a public spectacle of them. what an incredible day this is today on Good Friday. With that in mind, friends, if you don't know Jesus today, I want to tell you, Jesus knows you. Jesus knows you. He's always known you. The Father knitted you together in your mother's womb. And before he knitted you together in your mother's womb, he had amazing plans and thoughts for you. And somewhere along the line, we contrived to mess it up. But on Easter, we celebrate the day when Jesus took the mess and took the chaos and put it back into order again. If you don't know Jesus, or maybe you've known Jesus but you've walked away from Jesus, today is the day for you to walk back to Jesus, because there's no reason for you to be separated from him. There's no reason for you to be separated from the Father's heart and the Father's love, because Good Friday made it possible. Maybe you sitting here today, maybe you tormented by demonic powers. Maybe you know the reality of that realm. Many Christians are, "Oh, don't talk about that stuff." No, it's the realm. It's part of our biblical worldview. Maybe you tormented today. I want to tell you, God wants to set you free today. It's Good Friday. And if that's you, I'd love you to respond as the helicopter comes, drives over. I've always wanted to preach in front of the church in shorts with no shoes. Can we just stand, please? Can we just stand as we just get some people to respond? Friends, if you don't know Jesus, I want to remind you, Jesus knows you. And he wants to know you. He wants you to know him. If you've known Jesus and you've walked away from him, he wants you back. There's no reason for you to have walked away from him. He's real. What you've done is real, but it is covered by the blood of Jesus. It's taken away. Your record, the charges against you have been thrown away. And if you come here this morning, maybe you're in all three of those categories or something, but you also carry just torment, I want you to raise your hand right where you are, because we're going to pray for you. And you're going to be set free and come back into the love of God. Anybody? If that's you. Nobody's looking behind them. Just put your hand up. And if there's nobody here, there's a hand over there. There's a couple of hands over there. Oh, there we go, the hands are going up. Maybe some of the Glenridge leaders, some of this Every Nation leaders can just keep your hands up, guys. There's a man at the back there with the yellow shirt. There's a lady here with the white shirt. Man over there with the brown shirt. Is there somebody over here as well? Just Dwayne and Matt and Heath, why don't you just pray with... Anybody else? Anybody that else has put their hand up? I mean, we've got to see. Don't let anybody miss out. Father, we thank you for these lives. Thank you for these men and women. I pray, Lord God, that you would reconcile them back to you. More than that, Lord God, you put them back into their divine purpose, Lord. Like they could live a life of destiny and purpose in your kingdom, for your kingdom. We thank you for them, Lord God. We thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your power to transform and make right, Lord God. Thank you for your power to bring order out of chaos, as that song says. We just thank you for that in your wonderful name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we pray for the city. We take the opportunity to pray for the city. Even as I look across there at the stadium, magnificent architecture, I pray all these fishing boats, they would catch an extraordinary catch of fish today, Lord. Somehow, Lord God, they'd know that we've been there and they're catching because of us. We pray for the city, for all these people walking, for all these people running and exercising. Father, if all these people around us, think of all these blocks of flats and all these people living here, Lord God. Father, will you bless the city, Lord God? Father, will you bless the city, Lord God? Why don't you just stand where you are, just turn around and kind of face different parts of the city. And let's just begin to call out to God for his blessing over the city. What a great opportunity to do that as we stand here in the middle of the city on the beach. Father, we just speak your life over the bluff, Lord God, over the harbor, Lord God. This harbor is a resource. It's a commercial hub, Lord God. Father, will you put your blessing over this harbor, Lord God? Will it function well? Would you, Father, bring it to life, Lord God, economically? Father, will you put your hand over every part of the city, Lord God? Put your hand over DUC and all the businesses and all the businesses in the city, Lord God. We think of the stadium and all the events that are happening there and going to happen there, Lord God. Father, all the way, right the way through to Mshlanga, all the way through to Belito. I don't know if we can see Belito here. But Father, we put your hand over the city, Lord God. All the way down to Toti, Lord God. Just put your hand over the city. Breathe life into the city, Lord God. Breathe your spiritual heart and life beat into the city, Lord God. That people come back to you, Lord God. People will see you as King and Lord and Savior, Lord God. We thank you for that, Lord God. That people be set free in this city. This city will be a city of freedom, Lord God. Freedom in Christ, Lord God. Alive in Christ. Free in Christ. Taking ground in Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for your love and your goodness, O God. We bless you. We bless you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Wonderful, guys. Thank you.